in a quick procedure that we must follow in terms of the rules of the NCOP. In the absence of the chairperson of a committee, members present must elect the acting chairperson. So I will open a process now for nominations. Can I call for nominations? Honorable Ngobe.
Thanks. I'm nominating Honorable Boroto to lead us today. Thank you.
Seconder? Honorable Mashod.
I second the name of Honorable Boroto. Thanks.
Do we have further nominations? Okay, Honorable Moroto, you can proceed and take your chair and chair the meeting. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you all from the department and even the members of this committee. And those from the constituency offices, welcome. I just want to apologize for us starting late. It's because of the secretary gave out two invitations. And the first one that arrived was for the 11 o'clock meeting. So we were all confused thinking that we start at 11. So I'm very sorry for that. And we believe that we will be able to finish on time for the 11 o'clock meeting. So that was the confusion that we had. Going straight to the agenda of the day, do we have any apologies?
We've got one apology. The chairperson of the committee, Honorable Mahate, is on sick leave.
Maybe to just to say that the whip of the committee is running late. She had to go for medication. She was not very well, but she'll be joining us very soon. Thank you very much. Today's meeting is mainly about the consideration of the negotiating mandate. As we know that we went to the provinces to brief our provinces, and they sent negotiating mandates. And I would like to call province by province to just to read their mandates. And as they read their mandates, don't read all those comments, because all those comments have been sent to the department, and we expect the department to have prepared a response on it. So we just read what the negotiating mandate is, and they will respond. And after responding is then that we can discuss if there are issues that you feel they have not responded well to, those that were the inputs from the provinces. I think that is the way that we are going to take. Is it clear to everybody? Thank you very much. I'm going to start with Limpopo. And let them read the mandate. Limpopo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm an acting chairperson. The negotiating mandate from Limpopo is as follows. The name of the bill is Education Laws Amendment Bill. Date of deliberation was took place on the 19th of May 2011. The vote of the legislature says the Portfolio Committee on Education hereby confers the negotiating mandate to the Limpopo Provincial Permanent Delegates to the NCOP to support the bill. And the negotiating mandate was signed by the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, T.T. Mashamba, on the 20th of May 2011. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Limpopo. So Limpopo is negotiating positively. They've been given the mandate. Free State?
Honorable Chair, in the Free State is unfortunately
I didn't receive any mandate. The reason why is because the control committee didn't see it up to so far. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
No, I think it is fine. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The negotiation mandate for basic education law, amended bill B36B of 2010, section 67 bill, was presented to the committee on the 29th by me and the official from the department on the 29th of March 2011. And the committee, let me just get, after due deliberation and taking notes of the public input and written submissions, the Portfolio Committee on Education, Sport, Arts and Culture of the Northern Cape also supports this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Northern Cape. Western Cape.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We, the deliberation on the bill was on the 23rd of May, 2011. And there's a few clauses. Only the few clauses we must attend to is clause 7, section 9, and then clause 11, subsection 33A. But from the Western Cape Legislature, signed by Honourable C. Labaskagni, that the Western Cape supports the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Western Cape. Can we now go to Gauteng?
Thanks, Chairperson. The Basic Laws Amendment Bill, Section 76, number of the bill, B36B 2010. Date of deliberation was the 24th of May 2011. And the Gauteng Provincial Legislature supports the principle and the detail of the bill, and therefore votes in favor of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill. The committee, the Education Portfolio, supports the principle and details of the Basic Laws Amendment Bill, B36B 2010, taking into consideration the recommendations proposed. As you said, they have been given to the Education Department.
Thank you, Gauteng. In principle, they support. I have here an apology. I'm sorry I did not mention it. It went out of my mind. The apology from KwaZulu-Natal. The permanent delegate from KwaZulu-Natal has urgently been called to come back to KwaZulu-Natal. So I'm going to read the mandate. It says here, the committee agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the bill, provided that the above comments and proposed amendments are considered and consolidated in the bill. Probably you heard that those are the comments from KwaZulu-Natal. In principle, it is supported. Now, myself coming from Mpumalanga, I'm going to read from Mpumalanga. The deliberations were on the 24th May 2011, Basic Education Amendment Laws. The mandate of the legislature. The Portfolio Committee on Education, Culture, Sports and Recreation, after considering the bill and input from members of the public, supports the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill 2010, and confers on the permanent delegate representing the province of Mpumalanga in the NCOP the mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the views contained in the report attached hereto, signed by the Speaker of the province. Honorable members and the department, is there any province that I did not call out? Of the Northwest. Now, the Northwest, we understand it is not here unless somebody from the Northwest has just brought it in before we close them out.
I put you in a difficult position. Our mandate will follow later, ma'am.
Thank you. No problem. And then the Eastern Cape, do we have their mandate? The Eastern Cape as well did not send their mandate. I think it's because of this period of elections. But the good news is, even though we have those bad news, the good news is 6 provinces have responded and all are saying they support this bill. So in other words, we go on with the processes because we have 6 provinces that have supported the bill. They have given the negotiating mandate in support. Thank you very much. That is it for now. Right, now, after having announced that we have 6 provinces, it is time now to allow the department to deal with the contributions that come from the provinces. As we understand, the Office of the Secretary has sent them to the department. I don't know how you are going to do it. I'm just going to give to the leader of the delegation. He'll tell us how it's going to be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. From the department side, we received the negotiating mandates of 5 provinces. We did not receive the one from Gauteng. And also the report from Mpumalanga was not attached to the mandate. That we only received the first page of that. But we wish to respond to the inputs from the other provinces. In general, there is support for the inputs that we received from the provinces. I can perhaps go to individual provinces. If I can maybe just start with the Western Cape. There is general support for the amendment of Clause 7. This issue was also canvassed with the legal advisors of the provinces, and there is support for that. So we don't have a problem with the inclusion of that particular amendment. With regard to Clause 11, I would like my colleague just to say something on that. This one, yeah.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. With regard to the political activity and the time, school time, we need to point out the purpose of the clause was protecting the contact time between teachers and learners, and we don't wish to extend that particular definition beyond what the governing bodies would determine in terms of Section 20 sub 1J. Thank you.
Western Cape, are you okay with the response?
Chairperson, I received the information from the Western Cape that they won't have any problem if the committee don't approve what actually is coming from the Western Cape. So that's the reason why they support the government. So if there's a problem around that, they will understand it. Thank you.
You can continue. Thank you.
Okay, then with regard to KZN, I will start with Clause 7. Clause 7, there is general support. I think that is a good. We feel that is a good amendment. So we don't have any problem with that specific amendment. And then the same also for Clause 11. So that is paragraph 4 of the document and paragraph 3 of the document. With regard to clause 1, we have a bit of a problem there. The intention of this amendment was not to for schools to exclude schools from entering into these agreements, but just to bring a bit of control, because there is a huge financial implication on the state if schools default on these loans. So what we're saying is that there need to be some sort of a check and balance, and that check and balance comes in form of the MEC approving that specific loan. Because these practice, these kind of agreements can cause huge financial obligations on the state if there is if the school defaults on such a loan, and also in the light of the state of the new state liabilities act, the school property can or state property can be attached if a school defaults on a loan or in terms of the legal processes. So the intention is that not to hamper the school in execution of its functions, but just to bring that control, because in the end of the day, it's the Provincial Education Department, in terms of Section 60 of the South African Schools Act, that will incur liability if a school defaults on a loan. I don't know if my colleagues also wish to add.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and members. We have considered the definition of a parent, and we believe that the definition as contained in the amendment bill is sufficient to cover all cases that the Western Cape has indicated. Further, we have looked at is it C? Oh, KZN, I beg your pardon. C, where the issue of a child-headed households is raised. And we're saying that if it is not defined in the New Children's Act, we would have a problem of defining it in the South African Schools Act, because we want to keep this act as close and related as possible to the Children's Act. Thank you.
Since the KZN is not here, we will continue to the next process. Thanks.
The only other issues that we still need to address is that raised by the Northern Cape, as well as other provinces. With regard to the Northern Cape, we unfortunately received this very late and could not apply our mind properly to the issues raised by the Northern Cape. We would like to maybe just reserve our comments on that one for a later stage. The same apply for Gauteng and Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Thank you very much, the department. Actually, I was going to say we really understand that you cannot respond, because if you check all the deliberations dates were the 24th of May, what time did you get them to be able to check and respond? We do understand. But now we are going to request you to in-read a response and send to the secretary of the committee from every province, so that when the secretary of the committee will send them back to the provinces, so that when we come for the final mandate, there is clarity. Okay. Is there any other thing, honorable members? Mm-hmm. Honorable Father, do you want to be assisted?
Yes, Madam Chair. As I said, I represent the Northern Cape. Obviously, there was the deliberations with the communities, etc., with public participation. But at the end of the day, the portfolio committee did decide on supporting the bill. So yes, if we can just get that feedback from you at the latest, that we can take it back. But the bottom line
if there are concerns, they need to be addressed. And they will be sent to the secretary, who will communicate with the provinces. And you will also get copies of the responses. Thanks. Gauteng?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to get clarity. Are you saying eventually you got it, but late? So that I'm clear in terms of what happened. Thank you.
Gauteng, we unfortunately did not receive. Gauteng, Mpumalanga. Gauteng we didn't receive. The report from Mpumalanga wasn't attached. It was just the first page that we received, so we can just get that.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we are done with the purpose of this meeting, and we really want to thank the department for responding. We hope that you will be meeting again for the final mandate. Thank you very much.
One issue, what do you want us to respond in writing to the issue?
So can I be assisted?
At least before the 10th of June, cut-off date should be the 10th of June, because I'm not sure if it's the 10th or maybe the 5th of June, 5th of June. I'll check my calendar, because these responses must be sent to provinces, and we don't know when provinces will get a chance to have a meeting, to avoid a situation where other provinces will be in a position not to submit a final mandate. So to also give enough time to provinces, I think the 5th of June, so that I can send them.
Is that okay with you? Thank you. Honorable members, the department, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. The honorable members, we have another meeting.
Thank you. No, I know. But And then Thank you. When they have the program, they are
good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister and the entourage. I think everybody's here, and we don't want to waste time. I welcome you all. Actually, this is our second meeting. My name is Buroto MG, who is standing in for the chairperson. I'm the acting chairperson in the absence of Mrs. Makhate, who is on sick leave. So I think this sports and recreation really likes me to be the chair, because it's not the first time I'm standing in when they're here. Thank you very much. Without any waste of time, as I welcome you, I will go to the second item, which is apologies. Secretary?
We only have one apology from the chairperson of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We must understand that we have to be out of here by at least 10 to 1. So I'm going to give directly to the Deputy Minister to lead us on the side of the department. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, all the wonderful members of the NCAP. It's good to be here this morning. Honourable Chair, just for the record, apologies for Mr. Fikile Mbalula. He asked me to convey his good wishes for a wonderful and fruitful meeting. The reason for my minister's absence today is he's in cabinet, and he is dealing with a very important issue in cabinet. We have, in fact, a very important piece of something that has to go through cabinet today. But that, as time unfolds, will become known to us, and that is why the minister is not here. But apologies for him recorded. Honourable Chairperson, I have with me here our Acting Director General, Mrs. Sumaya Khan. I have next to her our Chief Director for Corporate Services, Mrs. Lulu Sazani. I have Acting Chief Director, Mass Participation, who is also Director of Community Sport, Mrs. Kelly Mkonto. I have next to her Bongani, a good comrade of ours, who is also part of the ministerial, the Minister's Office, supporting us there. I have to next to him, which is a very correct position also, to his left. I will not pronounce whether it's ideologically the correct position, but the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Sport and Recreation, Mr. Matlala. Next to him, our Chief Director, International Liaison and Client Support Services, which means the Federations, Professor Paul Singh. And then Dr. Bernardes van der Spy, who's our Chief Director, Strategic and Executive Support. And at the back here, I have numerous people from the ministry supporting us just in case we ambush this morning in this friendly committee. Honorable Chairperson, it gives us great pleasure to introduce the 2011-2015 Strategic Plan of this department. We see that it's an important tool in the endeavor of the department to transform our country and to develop our people equally in line with the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Members will pick up that the strategic plan focuses on the department's main mandate, and that is to create an enabling environment to ensure that as many South Africans as possible have access to sport and recreation activities, with a bias, obviously, to those from disadvantaged communities. Furthermore, the department will obviously endeavor to increase international sports success by strengthening performances at all levels of participation. These strategic imperatives are also reflected in our vision of an active and a winning nation. Now, through the strategic imperatives, the department is steadily positioning itself to ensure that we have a sports system and a country that is respected worldwide. Let me just say, Honourable Chair members, that policymakers worldwide realize that sport and recreation is much more than fun and games. In fact, world leaders increasingly acknowledge that sport and recreation touches virtually every aspect of a nation's ethos. Sport has proven abilities, and amongst others, to bind us together, as was proven during the 2010 FIFA World Cup. I'm just using one example. It also has the ability to increase sports tourism, speaking to the sport economy, and to contribute to peace. I'm talking of peacekeeping and peace building and development. It has the ability to increase social and economic values, as well as to enhance healthy and fulfilling lives. Either the department and the country are not embracing the potential benefits of sport and recreation for the entire nation, Honourable Chair, we will really do injustice to every South Africa. Now, to action the plans from policy to practice. Policy, meaning the white paper and the various documents we have. But to take that and to translate that into practice, we will be hosting a national sports in Durban in August this year. It will be preceded by provincial endeavors in all nine our provinces. Now, it's envisaged that the in Indaba, the sporting sector will finalize the first ever national sports plan, which will guide South African sport and will streamline implementation towards our common objectives. Now, let me just say, this will not be possible if the required resources are not made available to the department. And to this end, we will do everything possible to secure additional financial resources. But let me be frank here and say the baseline allocation from National Treasury will have to be increased to meet our objectives. We are not saying it has to be increased overnight. We are saying at least over the MTF period, we'd like to see a significant increase. Chairperson, we have a very able team that will walk you through the strategic plan here this morning. But let me conclude by saying that it's our sincere wish that the 2011-2015 strategic plan of our department will really pave the way for every South African to realize that sport and recreation can be the source of deep and of rewarding experiences that will enrich the daily lives of all citizens, whether as a participant or as a supporter. At the end of the day, sport and recreation is such a powerful vehicle, such a powerful tool. It's our wish that as a country we will embrace all the spin-offs and positives of sport and recreation to support us in our quest to stay a winning nation. Chairperson, thank you so much. I don't know whether you would like to afford members the opportunity to ask specific questions. If not, we are available for that. If not, it's your direction to give it to the able managers of our department to walk you through the strategic plan and to engage with the honourable members of the committee. When they start, I ask you to excuse me, please, from this committee. I don't want to monitor the managers. I trust them. They will deal quickly, but if there are any specific questions, we would like to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was just about to say there's no need for them to engage with what you have said because we believe you'll be with us throughout this meeting. And if you have to leave again now, it's a disappointment on our side. We would really appreciate it if you had time to be with us throughout. But anyway, we understand if you have other commitments. But for having said that, I believe that maybe they would like to say something to you before you leave and we allow the managers to continue with the strat plan. Honourable members, the Honourable Minister has introduced the purpose of this day and he will be leaving us as he indicates. He won't be here throughout the program. Now, if you want to say something from his input, or if there's something you want to him to take with him, that would not wait for the manager. Anyone can. I'm going to give you just 5 minutes if you have something. Unless if you're saying it's okay, you can go, then we continue. Honorable Father.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could actually, I suppose, speak to one of the managers. I just don't know which specific line manager I would have had to ask the question to, so I would rather just ask the Deputy Minister, if you don't mind. Because this was a problem that I've seen on the budget. To me, it was a problem that I saw that Love Life, which gets grants from social services and from all other departments, actually gets a hell of a big cut of your budget. And I just, my feeling is that that money could rather be used in school sports, in more disadvantaged areas. So what is your point of view on that, perhaps, Mr. Deputy Minister?
Yeah. Is there somebody else who would like to say something so that he responds once? Thanks. Honorable Mulvey?
No, thanks, Chairperson. My charity will be, is the Deputy Minister leaving because he has confidence over his staff or he has an engagement? But if he has confidence, we would also like to have him in this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other question again? Thank you. There's nobody. Whip of the committee, do you mind to sit with us? I'm going to allow the minister to respond to the two issues raised. Thank you. They're still conferring, but they will answer. They're fine. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, thank you, honourable members. Now, let me just explain. We have absolute confidence in our managers, but it's not disrespect. I will stay a little while, but I can't stay the whole time. Unfortunately, we're a little bit ambushed in time, so we have to run to catch up. And I trust that my comrade sister will understand, and honourable members will understand. Honourable Faber, the life budget. Perhaps I should just pause and give some background to the Honourable Committee, Honourable Chair, as to where does this thing emanate from. Way back, I'm not too sure of the date, I think it was around about the year 2000, more or less thereabout. The Kaiser Foundation, which is a United States-based organization, entered into a bilateral agreement with the government of the day. And more or less the agreement was for every rand that the government makes available to create awareness about this HIV and AIDS and programs to that, they would contribute 3 rand, it's either 3 or 5 rand, I think it's 3 rand. And they have made available a sum of money in those days over a protected time. And I'm giving you the history to the situation, and it then becomes for the National Treasury to make a decision as to how they pay that money and how they use the money. The observation is quite correct that more than one department are being allocated funds for a specifically earmarked project. In this case, our department, Loveline, and it's something that's been transferred to us. Now, we have been really vocal on our views as to the alignment of programs of Love Life to that of us in the communities, school sport, mass participation, and all that goes with that. I'm giving you the background to that so that it's understood. It's not a governmental loan. It is a kind of a linked situation. And I must confess now, when you want to go into the details of that, I would rather ask the CFO or our Acting Director General to go to the specifics of this year and the processes undertaken to align so that the program speaks to the strategic objectives not only of the Department of Sport, but that of the government in broad terms to that. So, Chair, if you permit me, having given the historical background to Love Life and having signaled our intentions, which we've engaged with them over a period of time for the updated latest, I would rather ask either the acting DG or the CFO, which one of them would like to come in and just to give the specifics as to this year's budget and the way going forward. With your permission, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I don't worry about going further now. You can continue with your presentation, and as you continue, I think somewhere you will have to slot this one in and just talk about it. Yeah, it is in the budget. Thanks. Okay, now it is your time. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members.
You see, Honourable Chair, in the point of order, this is why I want to run away, because they put the computer next to the Deputy Minister. So I must now operate this machine here.
That is why when you asked where you were going to sit, I said sit next to where they will be presenting, hoping that the presenter will be sitting next to the computer. Okay, we allow you to.
So other will say, I'm having the sandwich here now.
Don't
between
worry.
The two of them.
Don't worry. Sure. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning again. Good morning to the members and to colleagues. Madam Chair, our strategic plan document was tabled in Parliament, and I'm hoping that everyone has a copy of the document, have been furnished with a copy of the document, this document here. And our presentation will speak to our strategic plan document. Madam Chair, I need to also indicate that as part of the documents that was furnished to the members is the PowerPoint presentation on the strategic plan. We also included our budget, the budget for 2011-2012, and after we present it, we'll give our CFO an opportunity to go through the budget as well, because it is part of the strategic plan. And in it, we've put a roadmap to optimal performance, and I will make reference to it as I present our strategic plan as well. But it's a very detailed document. I'm not going to go through the details, but I think in our strategic plan we make reference, and for members' information, the details are contained in the roadmap. Madam Chair, if I can just go through the documents. I must apologize that the documents that was given didn't have numbers, so I'm just going to page through, and I'm hoping that we can follow through as we go along. If I have to go through the planning process, the strategic planning process, Madam Chair, we started the process in September with our first dedicated and committed session around that. Further, we had a stakeholders forum to look at key areas that should inform our strategic planning process. We presented the draft to our HEDCOM, which is made up of all provincial heads of departments, in November, to our MINMEC, which is the provincial, our ministers meeting with provincial MECs for sport. And further on, from the 10th to the 12th of January 2011, the minister hosted a strategic workshop with key role players in sport. And this included the provincial MECs. It included our sports confederation, SASCOC, key sports federations, heads of departments of sports, and senior government, senior officials of sport and recreation South Africa. And out of that strategic workshop, we came up with the roadmap to optimal performance, the document that we see in our pack. What we've done is then we've incorporated this roadmap into the strategic plan for 2011 to 2015. The strategic plan was then submitted to the Minister in February 2011, presented to our Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation in March, and before that it was tabled in Parliament as well. The process of updating took into consideration various factors, Madam Chair, because you know this is a five-year document, and on an annual basis we look at updating it based on our environment and based on any amendments to our mandates. And we have firstly aligned the strategic plan now to a new framework that we received from National Treasury. We've also looked at the outcomes approach of monitoring and evaluation that has been led by the Presidency. We have focused also on issues that are raised by the Auditor General in terms of performance information and templates that should be used for our strategic plan, and also the fact that government is looking at an outcomes-orientated goal and objective against which the department's results will be measured. Ladies and gentlemen, Madam Chair, can we go to the introduction? Our Deputy Minister has already indicated what the department's focus will be, and the main mandate being creating an enabling environment to ensure that as many South Africans as possible have access to sport and recreation. We also hope to increase international sport successes by strengthening our performance at all levels of participation. And we need to also indicate that the cabinet reshuffle of 2010, which saw the deployment of Minister Fikile Mbalula to Sport and Recreation South Africa, has had a most significant influence on the strategic direction of the department. And as I said, those strategic priorities are contained in our roadmap document, which have been incorporated into our set plan as well. And you will see that our strategic plan encompasses the sustained agenda for support, as well as I indicated, the change agenda, as highlighted by our minister. And then we've also looked at the State of the Nation address and other strategic issues identified by the relevant committees, like the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee as well. The next part talks about our values, Madam Chair, and the constitutional, legislative, and policy mandates. I'm not going to read these word for word. And then we go to the core business function of sport and recreation. Madam Chair, we have, as SRSA, a legislative responsibility to take overall responsibility for sport and recreation in South Africa. And we believe that our role will be sharpened in line with the current imperatives of the roadmap. The Deputy Minister has also spoken of the cabinet in Durban that we hope to have, and these are all part and parcel of the processes implement the current imperatives in our roadmap. We will also ensure we have effective partnerships in place with others like the provinces, the municipalities, the sports confederation, and our governing bodies, the sports federations. The department will also support with those responsible for delivery with available resources and monitor the implementation of projects and results and evaluate the results to ensure that we deliver value for public funding. The National Sport and Recreation Act, as amended, provides for the department to enter into service-level agreements with sports federations to oversee and monitor the implementation of policies by the national federations in the country. The next slide talks about the bills. Madam Chair, we are hoping to take these three bills to Parliament this year. The SA Combat Sports Bill. At the moment, this bill is going through the process of the DG's cluster so that it gets to Cabinet and then into Parliament. The second National Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill. This is in the process of our own internal consultation. And the SA Boxing Repeal Draft Bill. This process, Madam Chair, will follow the promulgation of the SA Combat Sports Bill, because the Boxing Act, the issues dealing with boxing will be contained in the SA Combat Sports Bill. Hence, there will be a need for us to repeal the SA Boxing Repeal Draft, the present SA Boxing Act. Regulations to be promulgated. The Safety at Sport and Recreation Events Regulations. The Act has been promulgated in August last year. Fitness Regulations. Recognition of Sport and Recreation Bodies Regulations. And the funding of sport and recreation bodies. Our performance environment, the international, we have valuable partnerships and relationships with our counterparts internationally. Our leadership amongst world sports bodies has strengthened over the last 6 years, and more so, I think, since the staging of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. The Minister has also spoken, Deputy Minister of Sport for Peace, and as we proceed, further information will be given on that aspect as well. And I think we need to ensure that we continue and we nurture these relationships so that we can secure more resources for South African sport. The United Nations is a key stakeholder in terms of promoting the role of sport and physical education. And I think the UN has also adopted a series of resolutions on sport for peace and development. The Olympic Convention has also pronounced on sport, the National Olympic Committees and government working together. And we also will fulfill our responsibilities and to make contributions to the relevant outcomes identified in government's 2010-2015 medium-term strategic framework. As a government, in terms of the outcome, we align ourselves to outcome 12B as a delivery partner, and especially for the part that talks about an efficient, effective, and development-orientated public service and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. To this end, it will harness the benefits of sport to ensure and to enrich social capital and ultimately contribute towards an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. And in this regard, we've had good partnerships with the Department of Arts and Culture to build social capital and foster social cohesion. The other agencies or delivery partners or stakeholders we work in during the sessions with Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation and this committee, the Select Committee, there have been strategic areas of that we need to consider sport, and we have considered this in our strategic plan as well. The next part, Madam Chair, deals with the strategic imperatives that's come out of the roadmap. These are the strategic imperatives and the mandates as given to us by our executive authority. And there are six areas that we focus on. The first one is transformation. The second one is school sport. The third one is institutional mechanisms. And under institutional mechanisms, we have facilities, sports councils, academies, coaching, and coaching. The next one is mass mobilization, and we're looking at youth camps and job creation under mass mobilization, as well as communication and mass participation, recreation, which is a key focus area as well, and funding. So these are the six strategic priority areas that are contained in our roadmap. If I may quickly go back to the first one, which is transformation. More dedicated efforts by all role players are required, and sport and recreation, we have to set the example through effective implementation of identified activities aimed at fast-tracking this process. And a lot of work has already gone into this that will now be, culminating in a transformation charter and a transformation scorecard, which we're hoping to finalize as part of our sports endeavor. School sport, we believe school sport has a valuable contribution to make to the development and transformation of sport, South African sport, as well as sport in the country. And we seriously and firmly believe that school sport has to be integrated and become part of the sports development continuum. Institutional mechanisms, facilities, I think we are all mindful that infrastructure plays a very, very important role in terms of the delivery of sport and recreation programs. And we are mindful of the fact that there is an uneven and skewed picture of facilities in the country. And we're hoping that through our interventions and our partnership with our sister departments of cooperative governance and human settlements, we are able to provide access and amenities to all South Africans so that they can participate in sport and recreation. Sports councils, there is a need for a structured way for sport and recreation development from grassroots level upwards. And we believe as a civil society organization, the sports councils have a role to play in the delivery of sport as well. Institutional mechanisms, the academies. The academy system is not functional optimally, and this hinders addressing the demographics of our national team by accelerating the development of talented athletes from the disadvantaged groups. Coaching and the development of sporting skills are key elements in any successful sports system. Mass mobilization, our youth camps, youth gatherings, networks, and programs can help to empower and promote the inclusion of disadvantaged young youth, especially disabled youth, out-of-school youth at risk, girl children, unemployed youth, and rural youth. And this is a process that we are busy in, and we're finalizing our concept documents around that. Job creation, all government departments are required to put appropriate programs in place and establish the right environment for the creation of decent and sustainable jobs in every way possible. And we are also drawing on the collective energies of the sporting sector to achieve this vision. Mass mobilization, under communications also an institutional mechanism. There is a need for an interactive and penetrating communication strategy that will lead the flagging of government sport and recreation successes and challenges. Mass participation remains a fundamental base for progressive sports development. We believe there is still insufficient participation of communities in sport, and we're hoping that through the mass participation program we will be able to address this issue. Recreation, this is the one area we are a department of sport and recreation, but we believe that not sufficient attention has been given to recreation, which then constitutes or where the greater part of the communities or the greater part of our population can benefit from. And we believe that recreation opportunities can provide personal benefits, because it's not about participation for competition and winning medals and high performance, but it's for people who participate for fun, for enjoyment, for healthy lifestyles, for social benefits, etc. And we have a plan of action, if you look in our roadmap, of how we're going to now address the issue of recreation. Funding, there are huge disparities in the distribution and disbursement of sport and recreation lottery funding to different stakeholders in sport, and we will intensify our oversight of national sports federations to achieve maximum impact from public funding. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may just talk about all of these six strategic priority areas, we have also indicated, or we have identified our delivery partners, which are either the provincial departments of sport and recreation, various other national departments who are key partners, the municipalities, and the sports confederation. If we looked at the sports confederation, there are very key areas where there's great synergy and integration of work, and in those areas we have formed task teams with a plan of action of how the work will be delivered. So that process is also in place. With regard to the department's personnel, we have an establishment of 220 posts. From 2007-8 to 2010-11, we pulled our post increase from 191 to 193. This may look as if we only pulled two posts, but I think we need to be mindful of the fact that sometimes there are people who resign, who leave the organization, and that also affected the numbers. So whilst it may look like we only pulled in two posts, but I think the numbers, we're looking at the number in 2007 and 8 and the number in 2010-2011. And in between, we have pulled some posts where people have either resigned, left the organization for better work opportunities, and retired as well. And in the medium term, we're hoping for this to increase to 2006. A draft functional structure was developed in 2010, but it needs to be reviewed now in 2011. That process has started because of the new imperatives that we have received. I mean, our new imperatives, and also the fact that we are going into an endeavor to finalize a national sports plan. And a national sports plan will also inform our functional structure. Presently, our lease is expiring in our building that we occupy in Pretoria. So at the end of October, the lease expires, and we'll find new accommodation. We're in the process of doing that. Our strategic... Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Minister. Madam Chair, there's our strategic goals. I'm not going to read it word for word, but it's here: transformation, school sports, institutional mechanisms. I've spoken about each of these: mass mobilization, recreation, funding. And then we go to the others that are part of the sustained agenda as well. Strategic goal number 7 is high-performance sport. And here we want to ensure that high-performance systems are in place that will enable more athletes, coaches, technical officials, and administrators to reach national and international standards. And this will also help to contribute to our international ranking. Administrative support, this talks about our own governance and delivery of sports and recreation, and ensuring that there's effective and efficient admin support and adequate resources. Well-governed sports committee, community. Here again, Madam Chair, we're looking at development of national policies and guidelines for sport and recreation in the country that will lead us to well-governed sports community. Intergovernmental cooperation. Here we hope to utilize the potential of sport and recreation to achieve government priorities through cooperation with identified international, national, provincial, and local government departments. I think we've spoken about our international relationships with regard to sport for peace and development, sport for the environment, national departments that we would like, for example, with the Department of Health in promoting active and healthy lifestyles, arts and culture to promote social cohesion, and with the Department of Basic Education with regard to school sport. The resource consideration, the CFO is going to go into details of this, Madam Chair, so I'm not going to dwell too much on this, and I'm going to leave that for the CFO, that whole section under the resource, the funding. If I can go to the programs, Madam Chair, we have five programs. Program one is basically our administration program, and under the administration we have the sub-program, the ministry, the office of the DG, and strategic and executive support. And their function, the strategic objective of each of these programs is listed herein. We also have the sub-program internal audit, and the sub-program corporate services, which has six sub-units, which is legal services, labor relations, auxiliary services, information technology, marketing and communications, and human resources. And then we have the sub-program chief financial officer, also under administration. And under this, we have supply chain management and finance and supply chain management. The program two deals with sports support services. Under sports support services, the purpose of this program is to support recognized sport and recreation bodies and public entities and monitor and report on their performance. The sub-program sports service provide, sport and recreation service providers deals with our non-government organizations, non-profit organizations, and our public entities. And we provide support to them and also support to our recognized sports confederation, SASCO. A club development program to increase levels of participation in sport by all South Africans in providing a vehicle for integrating them into the mainstream programs of federation. Madam Chair, this program deals with areas where there's an absence of sport, and we believe that the club is a basic unit or a basic organized structure of sport. So by developing clubs in those areas, you actually get people to participate, and then you bring them into the mainstream of sport through the sports federations. Education and training deals with skills development, but ensuring that our programs and our training programs or the coaching and coaching programs are accredited and aligned to the prescripts of the training authorities and SACWA. Program two, we also have sports and the sports support services is scientific support, and here we look at scientific support provides for our high performance support to our high performance athletes, and also to look at the ethics of sports, because it also deals with issues of the anti-doping agencies and drug-free sport. Our program three is mass participation. Within mass participation, we have a sub-program community mass participation and school sport mass participation. Madam Chair, we must also indicate that the bulk of our funding comes into is part of the mass participation program, and at least 400 million rand of the mass participation program is a conditional grant that goes to provinces. And then in program four, international liaison and events, here this program coordinates inter and intergovernmental sport and recreation relations, and supports the hosting of identified major events. Our international relations components, they manage and strengthen our government-to-government and multinational relations and the outcomes at both national and international levels, and to leverage donor funding to support the strategic goals of sport and recreation South Africa. Within international relations, we also have major events, and here they coordinate and manage government support services for bidding and or hosting identified major events, and we promote South Africa as a desired sports tourist destination through supporting identified events, exhibitions, and conferences. Program 5, facilities coordination. Madam Chair, facilities, the competency to build facilities is not that of Sport and Recreation South Africa, but we have a responsibility because sport and recreation programs cannot take place without infrastructure. But we have the responsibility to facilitate the provision and management of sustainable sport and recreation facilities. And our two programs deal firstly with planning and advocacy, where we improve participating opportunities available to South Africans. And in this way, we try and lobby the municipalities to build sport and recreation facilities through the Municipal Infrastructure Grant and through the Urban Settlements Development Grant Fund funding. Madam Chair, these two grants fall within two different departments. The MIG falls within the Department of Cooperative Development, COCTA, and the Urban Settlements Development Grant falls within the Department of Human Settlements. And then within facilities, we also have technical support. And here we ensure compliance to national sport and recreation facilities norms and standards. We have developed the norms and standards. We provided this to all the municipalities. And we also assist the municipalities to make sure that any technical support needed around this is provided. And we ensure that we make this available also to other stakeholders involved in constructing and maintaining sport and recreation facilities. I think, Madam Chair, if I may just add here, we also have the responsibilities. We have the Sport and Recreation Safety, the Safety at Sport and Recreation Events Act, which was promulgated in August 2010. Presently, we are hosting workshops in different provinces to ensure that that bill becomes a living document, ensure that the key stakeholders and people who will have to manage stadia and make sure that the safety issues of the stadia are adhered to in terms of the act, so that they understand what is in that act. So we're in the process of making sure that that act is workshopped with all the stakeholders. Madam Chair, our strategic plan, part of the strategic plan, we could not continue or put together a strategic plan without ensuring that any risks, that we identify any risks that will hamper the delivery on a strategic plan. So we went on a we had a very dedicated and intense workshop where, as the management of sport and recreation, we had a risk management workshop to look at each of the key risks that we could identify that will hamper our delivery on this, so that we could also put in a plan of mitigation to manage these risks. So the key risks of each program within SRSA have been identified with the current management initiative and future action to improve the control deficiencies noted by management. A breakdown of the key risks per program is displayed in our strategic plan document, and our target dates and persons responsible for implementation of the management actions have already been discussed as of 20th of May. We've identified and we've agreed on those areas as well. Our links to other plans, I have spoken, Madam Chair, of the conditional grant, and this, the purpose of this grant is to facilitate mass participation within communities and schools through selected activities. Our performance indicator is to get 5 million people participating in the program by 2011-2012. Madam Chair, I've spoken of the public entities that we have. And there are two public entities we deal with. The first one is the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, and their mandate is to promote participation in sport without the use of prohibited performance-enhancing substances and methods, and educate sports people on fair play and the harmful effects of doping. The other public entity is Boxing South Africa, which administers professional boxing. It recognizes amateur boxing create synergy between professional and amateur boxing and promote interaction between the associations of boxers, managers, promoters and trainers. Madam Chair, I've come to the end of the strategic plan process. I'm going to hand over to the CFO who will take us through the budget for 2011-2012. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mrs. Khan. The Minister, Deputy Minister would like to be excused. You are excused, thanks. Next time, please try to be with us. We really need you in this meeting. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, thank you for excusing me. I really have another commitment. It's my heart is here, but you're in good hands for the department. And next year we will sit 3 hours and do the presentation ourselves.
Thank
you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The Acting DG has just outlined some of our strategic direction and objectives and goals. And then what we need to look at is what resources we need in order to fulfill those ambitions. If we look at the budget of the department, the spending focus over this MTF period will be mainly to be promoting mass participation in sports and recreation. And this is done through the mass participation and recreation program grant and other development of sport at various levels by supporting schools, school sport, club development, and our sporting federation. Furthermore, you have seen that we talk about transformation, which should be completed in order to roll out institutional mechanisms. These mechanisms include facilities, academies, sports councils, coaching of technical people. Chairperson, if we look at the 2010-11 budget, SRSA has been allocated an additional 205.7 million over the 3 years of the MTF. This is detailed as follows. 7.6 million is basically for the improvement of condition of service that is related to their compensation to employees. And there is also a 136 million. This is for the increased support for our National Sporting Federation. We furthermore have got a 40 million, which is specifically for the talent development through our scientific support services. Furthermore, in the presentation of the acting DG, there was the issue of that accommodation contract is expiring at the end of October. Though the 6.5 million is specifically allocated to address the issue of the new accommodation or office accommodation. One of our public entities, which is Boxing South Africa, have been allocated an additional 5.5 million in order to address some of their operational expense requirements. Although if we look at the strategic goals that we want to pursue with the budget funds and the conditional grant, the department is of the view that if we look at the total picture of what the department must deliver, we need to increase on the baseline funding of the department. If we look at the historical trend of our budget, the expenditure has declined between 2007 and 2008 from a 5 billion budget to 1.3 billion in 2010 and 11. This was at an average rate of about 37%. A significant portion of this increase is mainly attributed to the completion of the upgrading and construction of the stadiums of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. That is the reason for the decline was specifically because our department as a mainline department was responsible for dealing with the transfers to municipalities in terms of the 2010 World Cup. Furthermore, over the MTF period, total expenditure is projected to decrease further at an annual rate of 10% to 915 million in the year 2013 and 14. However, I would like members to take note that the mass participation grant on the other side is increasing at an average rate of 30% between 2007 and 8 and 2010 and 11, and this was due to the inclusion of an allocation for school sport in 06-07 and an allocation for legacy project in 07-08. The next slide, Chairperson, is just a breakdown in terms of what is this money allocated for historically compared to the previous years. But if we look at the NWR MTF period for now, it's 2011 and 12. Where you see per economic classification, your compensation, your goods and services, your public entities, your non-profit institutions, allocation for machinery equipment, international organization, TITA, the mass participation grant for provinces, and allocation to municipalities. If you look at our annual our allocation for this current financial year, Chairperson, the department has been allocated 802 million. If you compare to the previous year, you can see that decline I was referring to. And then it started a slight increase to 852 million in the following financial year, and then it increased steadily to 915 million. The next slide, Chairperson, is just a graphical overview of all the classification to see how this amount have been increasing. But I would like to also make members aware of this line item called international organization, and also maybe give a little bit of an explanation because it was a once-off allocation, and you can see that it stopped in 2010 and 11. This was a special allocation for the FIFA refund for VAT that the government have made the guarantee to refund FIFA for the VAT collected for the sales of tickets during the World Cup and the Confederation Cup. So it just stopped there. But the rest of the graph gives you an indication, and if you look at the graph of your compensation, you can see a steady increase. If you look at your goods and services, it increases and decreases. Some of the effects of the decrease are due to other related costs to the World Cup. You can see they go down, and as we go further, it increases again. The next slide shows you partly what I was explaining about the allocation to the stadium, which you can see since 2007 and 8. It started on about 4.5 billion and it went down, and it was the last allocation was in the 2010 and 11 financial year, which have nothing to do with us going forward with the MTF period. This slide just gives a little bit of a detail that if you look at the original budget in the 9 and 10, it was 1.2 billion. The funding was increased by 9.9 at the end, towards the end of the financial year to 12.55, and this was during the adjustment estimate for money that we applied for rollover and an additional allocation for annual salary increment. The breakdown is detailed as follows, as you can see on that schedule. The next slide, Chairperson, I just want the committee just to see the budget of the department excluding the MPP grant, because when you look at the budget, you could see that we have got 802 million. But if you look to the actual allocation that is utilized within the department, it goes down by almost more than half to 276 million in the first period of the MTF, and it goes up to 350 in 2011 and 12, and it goes to 378 in 2012 and 13, and it goes up to 414 in the year 2013 and 14. So it just for members to see that the greater allocation of the department is actually dependent entirely on the mass participation grant. The next slide is just to give a graphical overview of the MTA allocation excluding the DORA grant. And you can see that our main cost driver at this stage is our goods and services, as well as our transfers to our non-profit institution, and also our compensation to employees. The next slide is showing us the allocation and also the percentage of how much the budget is divided among our economic cost drivers, which compensation takes about 27% of the allocation, the goods and services 40%, public entities 4.5%, non-profit institutions 25.7%, and your equipment takes only 1.8%. The slide is a repetition of the previous slide, and the next slide is also a repetition of the previous slide. I don't have to go into detail on that one. And I would also like to highlight our donor funding that we are utilizing. It's not going into our department, but it's the donor funding that we are utilizing that we get from EUGIZ from the between the years 2009 and 2012 for 5.0 million euros. And we've also got a project called Youth Development Through Football by EU and the German government for the rest of Africa for 1 million euros. And we've got another one, Youth Development Against Violence Through Sport by the German government and KfW for 4.5 million euros. That's where the issue of facilities is being assisted in terms of rolling out facilities in the municipalities. In the presentation of the DG, we have seen that the department is still in need of additional funding, because in terms of our allocation, the Federation, especially if you look at issues of transformation, they are very short short supplied in terms of funds and so on. So in our view, in order to roll out our programs very effectively, we need additional funding for National Federation. We also, Chairperson, need funding for the South African Games, which is one of our projects that, you know, identify talent in order to develop it further. We also, you know, members, also to recognize the athletes that are participating in sports and so on. We also need funding for, you know, rolling out the South African Sports Awards. And as they also indicated, of special focus in order, you know, to carry forward the issue of transformation, we need facilities in especially our rural areas. In terms of our new direction, we need to revise the organogram of the department, which of course will mean more people and also more funding. Lastly, as indicated, we need funding for the new office, because if you increase your organogram, it means the office required, the number of office required and accommodation will also increase. I'd also like to also remember to take note that Treasury have also raised the concern that in our budget, there is funding allocated to Program 1, where there is a concern that there's a, in Program 1, which is our support services, there's a concern that there are more people in Program 1 than there are people in the line function where the projects are actually rolled out. And also Treasury raised a concern on the capacity of the department to monitor and evaluate the programs that are happening in outlying areas, especially in regard to our mass participation that we transfer to the provincial department. Treasury also requests the department also to finalize the school sport policy and also clarify the rules of our department and the rules of the Department of Basic Education. And Treasury also requests the department to increase the monitoring on our public entities, especially the Boxing South Africa. I would like also to indicate to members that in terms of our audit report and in terms of our financial expenditure trends, the department also had experienced some irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, and fruitless expenditure. Here, I just want to indicate to the members the trend that has been happening in the department. In 07-08, there was a 6 million irregular expenditure. In 08-09, it increased to 34 million. In 09-10, it decreased to 2.8 million. In the previous financial year, it went down to 387. On unauthorized expenditure, there was an unauthorized expenditure of 833 in 06-07, and in 07-08 of 675, and in 08-09, 30,000. In terms of fruitless expenditure, it was 2,000 in 06-07, and it went up to 4.9 million in 08-09, and it went down to 2.1 in 09-10, and in the current financial year, it's sitting at 6,000. The reason why I'm showing members this slide is to indicate to the members the steps that the department has taken in order that the public funds are spent for the reason that they've been allocated for. And I'm still saying to the members, it's still work in progress. As you see that this year, where we said we have arrived now, we still incurred an expenditure of 387. But care is being taken in order to make it mean in the new current, in the new financial year. So the last slide also indicates in terms of what the Auditor General is saying to us. In 06-07, there were 13 issues the Auditor General raised in terms of the reason for qualification. In 07-08, it went down to 3. In 08-09, it went down to 1. And in 09-10, there was no qualification from the Auditor General. And then one of the strategies we said we need to identify and take stock of the issues raised by the Auditor General and see how we are dealing with them and in order to reduce them to zero. In 06-07, there were 242 issues raised by the AG. In 07-08, it went down to 175. In 08-09, it went down to 804. In 09-10, it went down to 75. So in the current year, the AG is still busy, so we are awaiting a better audit report in terms of the, if you look at the trend, we are of the view that we will receive a better report. Chairperson, I think on my slide, I didn't go into detail on the funding for non-profit organization where the issue of life is included. And I think the minister gave a big background on how life projects are funded, and it involves the Department of Sport and Recreation, Health and Social Development. All these departments receive a certain portion as per their contribution. We have engaged with LifeLife in order to align the program of LifeLife for that program to you know, satisfy the requirements of Scotland's recreation in terms of our mandate as a department of Scotland's recreation. In the current financial year, the allocation for LifeLife is 30 million. And the condition for what is to be spent for has been given by the department in order, you know, to align that funding to our program in terms of the roadmap. But what I would also like to highlight to members is that currently there is an engagement between our department, health and social development, in order to deal with the funding as a collective. And we are having meetings going forward, because in terms of treasury, we did approach treasury through our late DG to say Parliament has raised a concern about this funding. And the message was that if you are going to reallocate this money to something else, treasury is prepared to take the money back. And in terms of the portfolio committee of National Parliament, they say treasury will rather take the money back. So, I mean, it's the message that we got from them. So, but we are still engaging to see if we can access this money, come to us and redirect it to some of our projects. So it's still an engagement going on, and we will report to the committee once a decision has been reached. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matlala, for the presentation. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Can we interrogate it? Thanks. Honorable Blackie, Honorable Kasneli, Honorable Msholi, Honorable Faba, Honorable Mnube. Oh, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me first appreciate the report given by the department. But I do have just few clarity questions that I want to raise with the department. The first one, I am looking at the slides on budget 211212, which was presented by the CFO. I wanted to check with the department how to the National Sports Federations account to the department. I wanted to just check the method and the mechanism, how they account to you. So on the money that you're giving to them, amounting to 136 million. And further more, to check which federations are beneficiaries in these allocations, other than maybe LifeLife, and maybe if it's a federation, of course. And the other question is on the next page is how the allocation that is given to the municipalities. I want to check with the department how does the municipalities use this grant, because I am asking this question because in few municipalities I visited, there are actually no facilities, there are actually no sports desks in the municipalities. In the extreme, the stadium is leased on a nominal value of 10 cents per annum. They said it's a 99-year lease contract. I just want to check what is the department saying about that, because the municipalities, in my view, are not contributing in building sports in communities. That is another point. And the issue of contract, we have tried as communities to engage with the municipalities to cancel the contract. You know, if you look at the nature of the length of the contract, if people are telling you that is a 99-year lease contract, it's becoming a difficult situation. And the other last question, it's on the non-profit institutions. I just want to check the non-profit institution that you have, that the department is supporting per province. So that we must be able to check if in our province, for example, there are non-profit organizations that benefit from the allocation from the department. We must be able to do an oversight and say, look, you are benefiting, but you're not doing your know your part in developing sports. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I just want to appreciate the fact that the department is trying its best to reduce the irregular expenditure and unauthorized expenditure experienced by the department. But I would like to know that what are the plans that are put in place to try to avoid this occurrence in future. And the second one on the slide, where it talks about 40 million rands allocated for talent development through scientific support services. I want the department to elaborate on this kind of a program and how, whether there is talent development plan existing currently in the department, if you can just brief us on that, and how does it affect, involve provinces. And another issue is on the recreation slide 23. It refers to the implementation of recreation programs. If you can elaborate on those kind of programs at the recreation, so that we have a sense what kind of programs are you implementing in the department. And there's another issue, Chairperson, that is worrying me about the sportsmen and women who become popular in sports, and at the end of the day, before they even hit their 30s, they are bankrupt. I listened to a story about Malinga. I was so sad when I listened to that. So what I want to know is that the department is the custodian of these issues. How do we champion education or life skill programs to try and educate children at a very young age on how to conduct themselves when they become popular at one stage, and all the other life skills that are relevant to them, so that they don't find themselves in the same situation as sportsmen and women they find themselves today. And now it's a problem for everybody to try and rescue them. And the last issue, Chairperson, is to welcome also the transformation plan as outlined by the department here. But what I would have liked to see in this presentation is the prioritization of the areas where we know that there's always problems. Transformation is lagging behind on areas of rugby, areas of cricket, area of swimming, and other. If we would have lifted those issues so that we can see clearly what kind of programs are putting in place as far as transformation is concerned in those areas. Thanks a lot, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, my question is based on the 16.5 million for offices. I just want to check with the department if this 16.5 million is for accommodation, if it's for renting or for building offices for the department. If it is not for renting, why the department not considering having their own offices? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My first question is just around the one which my colleague Honourable Shorty was posting now to the department about the accommodation. I don't want to put that question, but the other one which I want to ask is on the next slide, after that page, the money outstanding from FIFA owing to the department. Is there any outstanding money? And then I'm very concerned about the municipalities. The trend in 2010 and in 2011, there was an amount of 512.566. But the other three years, there's nothing. And I'm very concerned because, bearing in mind that most of our disadvantaged schools don't have sports facilities. Now, from the department, do you have any assistance to the municipalities to create those sports facilities in the different areas? And if I look at this, numbers here, then I'm actually concerned. Can you maybe elaborate on that? What is the situation there? And the other question, Honourable Chairperson, is there's no numbers, so I can't tell you which page, but it is under the donor funds, the year of receiving. I'm actually concerned about the currency exchange rates and also the tax paying, what amount is actually taken away from that 5 million euros and the 1.0 million euros and the 4.5 million euros, so that I can actually see what are you dealing with. And then the other last question is, Honourable Chairperson, around the school sport. I can see here that Treasury raised concerns about the staffing capacity, school sport policy and role of DBE. Now, we can't wait on completing the completion of the policy on school sport. Now, what is the situation in current situation here in the Department of Sport, especially in assisting school the development of school sport? Because most of our schools, and I must again take the situation in the disadvantaged schools, because they are actually struggling to get the sports from the ground and let the learners compete amongst other schools and also in the regions. And if we don't assist in that situation and that manner, then we can be very much prepared that we won't succeed in the development of school sport, so that the senior sport can actually benefit from it. I thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Both the previous speakers and colleagues of mine spoke about the 16.5 million for new office accommodation. I just want to see that we don't sit in the same situation with other departments of police as well as education, where the correct tender procedures weren't followed. And I just would like to caution this department as well, that we don't sit in the same position and next year looking at you and saying that we did ask you to follow the correct procedures. So that is just almost off record, but please be aware of that. Then the funding, potential funding requests. The Northern Cape province, where I do come from, is also hosting the World X Games this year with skateboarding. And I don't know if, obviously you should be aware of this, and would like to know if there was additional funds also set aside to help the Northern Cape province promote the World X Games, skateboarding games. And then the last question that I do want to raise on the Love Life issue, where they've got a 30 million allocated for this year. I'd like to know the previous year, obviously Love Life don't come and report to these type of committees, but someone should take the accountability for the money and report to us on how it was spent. And now my question which I then want to raise is, how much of the allocations was spent specifically through sport, which was allocated to them, and was it controlled and overseen by this department? Because we do also know that previously it was reported that it's an endless pit where money gets thrown in and we don't see results out of this. So I would like to know if this department is taking accountability for the money and overseeing that Love Life do spend that money the right way. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I'll start with the mass participation. We have been raising that to appreciate the program. However, maybe we can get from yourself that is there any value over and above getting there to the grounds? hide for a week and they're gone. Is that program able to give us, identify talents? Is there any value for that program? Yeah. You might have learned lessons now. It's long that it has been there. And then the other one is on the infrastructure. We've also been raising the issue of others will raise the rural, those that are coming from the rural provinces will raise that there are no grounds. People or learners or youth play rugby through the stone or the socks and whatever. They play netball through the socks. There's a small place. Where I'm coming from Gauteng. And people would think that it's gold everywhere. But I want to talk about the townships. With the townships, there were grounds that were there. Now, those grounds are no longer there. It's either informal settlement has taken those grounds, or it's just the long grass. And where I was staying, my home was in Jablani, and my home was facing the grounds, Jablani grounds, where there would be hype Saturday and Sunday. During the week, all the clubs will be coming there and exercise and do whatever. It's no longer there. So now the question of the Department of Sports linking up with local government and human settlement. You see, the previous special planning, whether bad it was, but you will see that there are people here and there's a space left in a certain ward or whatever where there will be athletics, the swimming pool, the way it will be built, or they will build it for, not for us, they will build it before the houses will be established. You'll see the grounds are there, the swimming pools are there, all the infrastructure will be there, and then they'll put in the houses. And we don't have that now. So the question of what is urgent and what is critical is that you need to have that debate with the local government and the human settlement so that you don't just put people at the end, then they loiter in terms of what else should they do, because there's no recreation. So over and above the money that you have for infrastructure, then there's that need to take it at an upper level. But over and above that, you have multi-purpose centers that are built by, I think it's local government or province, I don't know. There's a problem there. The question of access. You have those managers just giving themselves leaves, and there's no monitoring in terms of whether people are flocking there and utilize those resources. The other thing is on the youth camps. To say we need a transformation of these youth camps. We know that South Africa is a youth country. South Africa is a youth country, and most of the youth are unemployed. So what is needed is that how accessible are these camps and what is done there in those camps. I know before 94 there will be the Christian camps and whatever, and people will go there, you come back with a t-shirt, but you have been in a camp, so whatever is done, there must be a value and a purpose of why are we having these youth camps. But also, how do the youth access to that, the marketing of this program,
job creation. You mentioned in your presentation that you all departments are supposed to be giving programs in terms of the job creation, and you've just highlighted on the sports school sports. What we want to know, how do you envisage that? Now there's a launch on Friday, but yeah, we need to know in terms of how is that? We know schools are there also, they don't have any access to grounds, and teachers are not trained to be coaches, cricket and whatever. Maybe you may share that with us in terms of your strategy on school sports, but it's not enough to say, I'm not sure whether the target you are having, are you having a target in terms of unveiling your job creation? How will the Department of Sports impact or contribute towards job creation? Also, you talked about boxing in South Africa. 2009, we had an oversight over it. You called them here, and at that time, management or governance left much to be desired, and they were appealing to us that we need to lobby the treasury to increase their money, but we were not convinced because of everything was left much to be desired. So, I'm happy that you are talking about increasing your control or the monitoring on your agencies or your those that you give money from public. On the academies, I would want also, I need to hear, we are coming from provinces. So whilst I'm coming from Gauteng, I may be speaking also to others that may hear that now all these academies are in Gauteng. So what we'll need to know is the location. Where do you envisage establishing this academy so that a youth and a learner that is actually siki-siki or bugobo-gobo or whatever, gandui, also should not have to envy to be in Gauteng or come to Gauteng to be trained, and after being trained won't go back to that place because the opportunities may be there. But also, whilst one may think that maybe there are existence of infrastructure and how they, but also the whole question of marketing the existence of those academies, the criteria of identification, it becomes so difficult to those that we're having now. The School of Excellence is one area where you have to be linked to a particular person for a learner that is talented in soccer to get to the place. So I think the whole question of, as you put these academies, it should be clear in terms of who gets there, how does, if a school has learners that have potential, how do you refer them? There's one school of academy also at Atreji. I didn't know about it. I've been a leader of SATU in Gauteng, but when I was holding a workshop on curriculum, I got to know that that school is a school that is training for soccer and whatever, and we didn't know. And they were crying about the under-utilization of that school. West, I was in the field of schools, but I didn't know. So the whole question of how do you market and how to ensure that people that have skills, they get access. On the icons, it has been indicated. We also have to be able that those icons that are still living, but we the youth does not know about them until they die, and then they say, no, they die proper. So we need that thing of injecting some role models to say there was this job, at least Joma and I still Mupanda, the steel panda who is wherever, good keeper and all those things. we need also to inject that and have some programs of saying, whereas you leave, as you leave this spot, what are other survival skills that one would be that? And then just to add on the education, on managing fame, and also, I can see managing fame, you're exposed to women, to drugs, to whatever, to alcohol and all those things. And then you are supposed to be training, you are not there, you're running a walk, and then that person is gone. Thank you.
Chairperson, the majority of my questions are taken by Honorable Mude. But I just want to add on sports academies that are not clearly marketed, because I think in Eastern Cape we've got something in East London that is also not in good in good conditions. When I last talked to chairperson of sports in the portfolio committee in the province, and that academy there is not known in Alwa North. I stay in Alwa North, or among the Jokali region. There are sport people there, but they don't know there's a sport academy in East London because it's not marketed. And I think those people who know about those sport academies, Abandwana, they're members of parliament, like my child, who is in Model C school. She knows about the sport academy thing, but the others in the rural areas, they don't know anything about sport academies. I think also the teachers, they should be taken on board and know what is happening on sport academies. And also on your page 2 presentation, I think there's something that talks on transformation charter should be completed in order to roll out institutional mechanism projects. The projects were named that includes facilities and what. But how is the department going to ensure that this previously disadvantaged areas or rural areas or rural communities gain from this project? Because sometimes these projects are just there in the township or in the so-called urban areas. They don't go down to the rural areas. And we've got people that like sports in the rural areas. We've got sport legends that are there that can help our kids to develop on sports. We've got sport grounds in rural areas. The O.R. Tambo district have got sport grounds. They've got people there that are good in sports, but they are old already, maybe 45 to 50 years old, that are not doing sports anymore. That can be used by the sports department just to develop kids on any sport that they know. What is the sports department doing about those things? We've been raising this, I think, for quite some time, and I don't think we are getting a response that satisfies us, because we represent the people down there. We are not we are representing the people, and we are representing the provinces. Whenever we are asked about this, we say, sport is taking care of it. Department of Sport is taking care of it. Taking care of it how? Thanks, Chairperson.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you very much, honorable members. On development, you are saying you will support the high performance athletes through scientific support services. My take will be, why only athletes? Because in almost all, including soccer, as we participate internationally, we all are beaten. So I want to know in terms of why high level athletes, whereas rugby and whatever, and then development also down there. Is it only on high level scientific athletes? Is there any target of any other development?
what do you call it, sports codes. Thanks.
Honorable Father?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me quickly have the last word. I'd just like to know what I don't see is the financial reports of the year saying how much money went to which sport, etc. I don't know, has that already come out on the budget, because I haven't got it in my documents, because I would have loved to see exactly how much money for the previous year and for the coming year in the budget. I didn't receive such documents. I don't know if some of my colleagues perhaps have it, but I have no detailed documents stating how much money is going to which sports or schools, etc. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for the questions that you have raised. I just want to say that before they come in to respond, I think one of our major duties here is that we must ensure that there is access to marginalized communities. And I think that came out as people were talking about, for instance, academies. I think that these academies are concentrated in areas which are more urban. And we really want you to look at that. And again, before we, I just also want to talk about you say that on the there should be sports facilities, and the local governments should participate in ensuring that we have those sports facilities. As we speak presently, the local governments are already complaining about this MIG, that it is not sufficient. And they are unable to operate because it is not ring-fenced. It is not saying, do this with the money. They have the MIG, and it has got to work where they believe it can work. So how are we going to ensure, as a department, that sports is also taken care of with this money? You can see even from the one that comes from human settlement, They it's not ring-fenced, so it's a problem. They will use it for whatever. So sports will remain unattended. And you also talk of that conditional grant on page, I think it's page 24, slide number. I think it's slide. Oh, the slide number is not there, but it's page 24. Where you talk of the mass participation, the conditional grant for mass participation. But I just interested in finding out who will actually be managing this. How are we going to make sure that this goes to where it is supposed to go? And on page 10 again, when you talk about facilities, you know, we have this problem where we are saying the lack of sporting facilities and the access to equipment is not sufficient, especially in rural communities. Now, for instance, let me just give an example. We do have stadiums, but you find that they are controlled by the municipalities. And they decide, do we have a policy as a department of sports that guides these municipalities as to how they can lease, how much, you know, because it seems they decide at any time how much they can charge depending who it is, or maybe saying, no, we cannot allow you to come into this stadium because the children will, you know, I don't know if they are guided. They will, the property there will be damaged and so on. I don't know if we have as a department a policy that guides these municipalities as to how the access to communities and access to schools or whoever should be dealt with. It becomes a problem when you really have to access this stadium, and you have to pop out a lot of money. It depends on where you are. Sometimes you can go to the, you have heard of many people trying to access the stadium that was built in Cape Town for the World Cup. It's not easy to access that. So how do you assist people in that instance? Now, the other thing, I really want to commend you for the strategic objectives that you have with the programs
and the sub-programs that are there, it really shows that we are going somewhere. And we believe that as we will be giving your annual report, we will get results of these programs that you have today outlined to us here. That is progress. Yeah, the funding for the new office, I think I must also speak on that. You know, when you talked about the funding for the new office, the ministers, the deputy minister said, not just a new office, but a suitable office. And you are talking about the organogram being changing and more stuff needed is. I don't know. I'm curious. Is it possible for you to buy land and start building your own offices somewhere? Because this leasing of 5 years and the coming again, so if you look at that money, you can build out of that money. I've seen a building in Pretoria. I think it's the Department of Agriculture. It's a very beautiful building there. Yeah, it's very nice, and it's there, you know. I'm just curious about, can't you do that? Let me not waste time, because honorable members, I must warn you that you won't have follow-up questions, because we are supposed to be out of here. It's already late. Is that the afterthought, Honorable Mashamaite? But I'm going to allow you, because you never spoke before they respond. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. That is how I come in, because I checked time first. I discovered that I may not have time to pose my question. No, thanks, Honorable Chair. In the presentation, you talked about legislation, which you said is funding of sport and recreation bodies regulations. I just want to check, because you are saying this legislation must be passed. Before it is passed, which mechanism you were following or you were using to fund the sport and recreation? And my other question is in relation to the academics have asked about it. You talked about 7 point something million rollover. I just want to check how does this rollover comes, whether it's during the MTEF or it's at the end of the financial year. Because if it's at the end of the financial year and you call it a rollover, I may disagree with you. That will be an understanding in terms of, you know, scope of language. It cannot be a rollover. There are few, Chair. Most of the questions that I wanted to ask other members have asked them. I was left with this. The allocation to municipalities. Is the department in a position perhaps to share with us in all municipalities in the country, when you allocate, how do you, how do you give allocate municipalities? What informs you? Do you check the size of the municipality, or do you, this allocation, is it perhaps biased somehow to certain municipalities and so forth? Lastly, in relation with this allocation to municipalities, in my municipality, Honorable Chair, in Mapela, maybe Mugonu is the vacancy, Mapela, where I'm coming from, there is what they call Mapela Stadium. They built it with this, I think, MIG, you know, allocation. But you go to that school, there's nothing. There's nothing. But in the IDP of the municipality is there. That they have built a stadium. But there's nothing. Mugoy. You can go there and check if that MIG was used there and they said they have built a grant. Then you must ask them, where is the stadium here? There's virtually nothing. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Over to you, Ms. Khan.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm going to try and see which ones I can give you a response to, and then perhaps ask our senior managers also to provide some response. Madam Chair, if we're looking at the national federations and how they account for money that's given to the that's given to them, we sign contracts with them. We sign service level agreements with them. They and the service level agreements are based on business plans that they submit to us. We do have a funding policy, a transfer payment policy in place, which dictates how we would transfer money to them. Also, you must be mindful of the fact that any transfer of money is also done in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. So in terms of the accountability, they have to provide us with their audited financial statements to indicate how the funding was utilized. They also have to provide us with reports that are aligned to the business plans. If they said they were going to use the money for a specific purpose, then they need to show evidence that the money was used for their intended purpose, and they must provide verification of that. In terms of the reports, in terms of events, there have been events, photographs, attendance registers for any of their workshops, etc. They must give us a list of coaches that were trained, technical officials that were trained, if the money has gone for development. Over and above that, Madam Chair, we send within our unit that transfers money, that does deals with transfer payments, they actually go out and they monitor the projects. If federations have indicated in their plans that they have any activities or events, then there are teams of people. We cannot do every single project that the federations have indicated that they're doing, but we do sample monitoring and evaluation, and we come up with our own reports. So there is physical monitoring of those projects as well. Allocations to municipalities and how do they use these funds, these grants, etc., and the funds are not contributing. I think the CFO has indicated in his presentation that allocations to municipalities was done on a short-term basis. This was linked to the grants that were given to the host cities to fund the building of stadia. As a department, in terms of our own voted funds, we do not allocate funding to municipalities. So we do hear the concerns of the members with regard to allocation, but from a funding point, we do not fund municipalities. Can I also then link that up to the issue of municipalities and the facilities? There is the MIG, as you say, and yes, we do. It's been a challenge that we've been engaging with the Department of Local Government with regard to the MIG funding going to municipalities and municipalities using it for what they think, what is for them priority. And if you look at historically, and I think this committee is also aware of it, that funding for sport and recreation facilities used to come out of the Building for Sport and Recreation program, and that fund resided with Sport and Recreation South Africa. But with the municipal infrastructure grant coming through, this fund was then channeled into MIG. And I think the challenge was that it was not ring-fenced. So the sport money was actually channeled into MIG without it being ring-fenced. And that is where we find that historically, if you look at the performance and the number of facilities that were built through the Building for Sport and Recreation funds, and what is being built through MIG now, you can see that there's been a total decrease in the number of facilities built. However, the sports, the provinces themselves, quite a few provinces themselves are making efforts to fund building facilities, not only through, sports facilities like soccer field, etc., but also smaller multi-purpose courts. And some provinces are doing it together with the Department of Education, where they build on the sports, on the school premises, multi-purpose courts, multi-purpose courts, where basketball, netball, tennis, volleyball can be played on there. And the agreement is that there must be access to communities. So some provinces are doing that. Over and above that, Madam Chair, there is also a project through the 2010, the SAFA offices at 2010 Legacy, where there's an artificial turf program. So those are some of the initiatives. But I think for us, what is milestone, Madam Chair, is that we have had engagements with COCTA. And I think now there is a will for them to now start ring fencing funding within MIG for sport and recreation. So we're trying to formalize that agreement. Our minister has had engagements with Minister Tokyo Sekwale with Human Settlements, and they are not averse. They actually said to us, there's a fund that's MIG funding that goes to, it's an urban settlement grant, and it only deals with the metros. So within that, they said, there's money for sport, and sport needs to tell them how it needs to be utilized. So we're working on a service level agreement that we're going to be signing with Human Settlements. But they've also assured us that within all the Human Settlements, there will be provision for recreational facilities as well. That they're going to, that is fine. They've set up a task team for that, and we are part of that task team. So with regard to facilities, we're trying, there is some headway as well that's being made there. Madam Chair, the issue of non-profit organizations for us are the sports federations. Those are the non-profit organizations. We don't deal with any other NGOs, etc. But in terms of transfer funding, we deal with those non-profit organizations. But Ms. Mkonto, who deals with mass participation, will also talk about support that we give to non-profit organizations, especially through our donor funding as well. Whilst I'm here, Madam Chair, the issue of the organizations or the sports federations that receive funding, we have not put it in the pack because it is very detailed and operational. But we will, given the fact that there is a request from the committee, we'll make that available for the last financial year, because we have a list, and I think it will be reflected also in our annual report, you know, the funding that's gone to the non-profit organizations and the amount of money that has gone to them as well. Recreation, Madam Chair, yes, as I indicated, you know, it has been something that has been neglected. If you look at the document that we've given with regard to the Minister's roadmap, we have indicated in that there's a process that we are embarking on to ensure that we give priority to recreation. I think the first of that is our minister is going to appoint an advisory board, people who come from a background of recreation development, recreation practitioners, academics, people in the communities, business people, provincial departments who have a very active recreation program. So we're actually finalizing that recreation advisory board, who will then help to come up with a recreation strategy. But as we felt that we cannot only wait for that process. There are already quick wins that we're looking at, and in that frame, I think Indigenous Games, there are active senior programs, Golden Games that talks to senior citizens, and we're engaging also with our provinces to say, you know, at a local level, they also have programs that have programs in correctional service institutions. We're looking at a big program that will mobilize the whole country in terms of a World Walking Day. So these are quick wins to start the process going. But for a longer term, we are looking at this advisory board and the strategy. Madam Chair, I'm going to ask, we can start from Ms. Zani. She will talk about the office accommodation, etc., around that. And then we have Ms. Mkonto, who can deal with the youth camps, the issue of the youth camps and other mass participation issues. Our CFO will also speak about the finances, and Prof. Singh will talk about the scientific support, the boxing issues. With regard to the conditional grant, Madam Chair, I know the CFO will speak on it, but the conditional grant, as we indicated, the total amount of about 471 million rand is transferred to the 9 provinces. We have a criteria of coming up with how the money is allocated and what percentage of the money is allocated to the provinces. And it is guided by the Division of Revenue Act, the DORA. And within the Act, there's a grant framework. In the grant framework, and because it comes from national, it is a grant, we actually put in the grant framework very key deliverables that we want to see the provinces deliver on. So that is in the grant framework. The allocation of the money goes to the provinces. They sign a PIA agreement with the National Department of Sport. They also submit their business plans to us, and we have continuous engagements with provincial. They assign provincial coordinators. So we have frequent meetings with them, and also we do some monitoring and evaluation, although it is not adequate and it's something that we need we are addressing as well at the moment. The issue of school sport, our director of school sport unfortunately is not here. Madam Chair, in January, the National Minister of Sport and Recreation and our Deputy Minister met with the National Minister of Basic Education and the Deputy Minister of Basic Education together with our late DG and our senior officials and officials from education. The politicians met first and they came out of the meeting and they gave a directive to us to come up with a school sport framework. I think what we needed to look at was there's for a long time, you know, with different mandates of education and sport and recreation, and clearly there's some overlapping responsibilities in terms of the mandate or the responsibilities of the Minister of Sport and the Minister of Education. They've asked us to come up with a framework that we need to present. Madam Chair, we are in the process of finalizing that framework, and obviously there were processes that delayed the finalization and for us to meet with the ministers. But I think before the middle of June, we will be meeting and presenting these documents to the two ministers, the two deputy ministers. Once they have endorsed that, they will sign a memorandum of agreement. This matter will be taken to a joint MINMEC of sport and of education. And then we will work on a school sport policy. But in the meantime, what we have done in sport and recreation, we're looking at school sport within the development continuum. And within the mass participation program, we also have school sport. And we realize there are 30,000 schools in South Africa, and our mass participation program only reaches about 5,000 or 6,000. So we're looking at a process of now, how do we now look at the mass participation program as an integrated program with our community mass participation and our school sport mass participation and our legacy program together. So for school sport, we're looking at training of educators as coaches, training of technical officials, training of administrators, you know, within the school sport program, the provision of equipment and attire, and running sustainable school sport league. But all of these, Madam Chair, are now going to end, are part of the process of the ministers now meeting and finalizing that document. I know that one of the members raised the issue of the school sport launch. We were hoping to launch our league and not the whole school sport program, but our minister has advised us that we should not go ahead with the launch that we had envisaged on Friday, but to go ahead with our workshops and processes, and the launch then will take place once the two ministers have finalized and agreed on the framework document and they have officially signed off that. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll hand over to our other senior managers here.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I'm going to respond on the question of the 6.5 million on office accommodation. We have followed the processes of going through the Department of Public Works to actually lease a building for us. The building that we're occupying presently is a building that we were given after we moved from Schoeman Street building, which we shared with the Department of Arts and Culture in 2006. But we indicated to them that the building that they were giving us is a building that is inadequate. How I wish members would actually visit that building and see exactly what we're complaining about. First of all, the building is really not compliant. You know, even people with disability, they're finding problems. It's really totally non-compliant. We tried to make some renovations here and there, but we are really spending a lot of money on that building, which is not even owned by the state. Over and above that, the department is growing. The space is inadequate, parking space, there's no parking space. We're losing a lot of assets from the department for not having parking in the building where officials would actually walk a distance
carrying laptops on the street sometimes after hours because there is no parking in the building. We can't even have our own meetings in the building. We have to spend a lot of money booking hotels because we meet with provinces from time to time, especially on the issue of the conditional grant, which is over 400 million rand. So there is continuous monitoring of provinces. So we call meetings all the time. So we would need a building where we would have facilities so that we don't waste money by going out and book hotels. I must also say that the process that we're following through Public Works is a very slow process, but we are very patient because we don't want to flout rules. We waiting for Public Works. They have advertised, these members have seen in the new, in the newspapers in the past weeks. They have advertised, they've put a tender on this. We'll wait for them to actually consider a building which they think it will be suitable for our needs. But as sport and recreation, I think members are correct to say we would have preferred to have our own building other than, you know, leasing building, which the deputy minister normally call it a sport house. But the Public Works is not really keen to move government departments out of the Pretoria CDB. They want everybody to be there. They say they will be killing the business if they take departments out. But there's precedence already. Science and technology is already out. International relations is out already, and the education. The splitting are sitting in different buildings. But we're really pushing our case. We're pushing our case that I hope they will agree. But there's been instability within the Department of Public Works itself. Today you talk with this one. Tomorrow there's somebody else. Say no, I don't know anything. So tomorrow this one comes in, you must start afresh. So it's really a challenge, not only for us, we're not complaining, yeah, because it does not only affect us, it affects other departments as well. But it's something that we will follow up step by step. As soon as there's a Director General there, maybe something that we need to open again and say, we want a sport house, we don't want to lease. This is a lot of money that we are paying. And people are really, you know, overcharging, in my view, when it comes to leasing government a building. We pay a lot of money. So we do have the support of members for having our own building, and we thank members for that. Thank you.
Okay. Are you the next, madam?
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The SPCC athletes could just respond to the few questions that were asked.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was asked to respond on the questions on mass participation and the conditional grant. The first question was on the allocation per province. The Honourable Member indicated that you know, he would have liked to see an allocation per province of the funds that we're talking about. So we have, I do have a slide here dating back from 2006-07.
Can you have a picture for the slide?
In terms of the allocation from 2006, you will see then per province, Eastern Cape, they underspent by 2.6 million.
Gauteng, for that was 2006. And KZN, they spent all their money, Limpopo, and Northwest. And you will see now in terms of the pattern, in terms of some provinces, there is this consistency of not spending. And, you know, the challenge with that is that, you know, this financial year we're going to be compelled now to withdraw funds from provinces that are not spending and give to provinces that really need money, and we'll measure the impact that it will have at grassroots. 2007-08, only one province that understands, Gauteng, and, you know, affluent provinces, I guess they also get money from other entities. And hence this pattern, but the expenditure improved, you know, the following year, 2008, as you can see, there is remarkable improvement. But I hope you're also noting in terms of Northwest that, you know, 2008-09, Northern Cape places, we have no problems with that province. And you also asked a question about the international skateboarding. We are aware of that project. The province did present to SRSA. They will be funding it via their voter funds, not the conditional grant, because the purpose of the grant is for grassroots participation.
But then extra money from Northwest will be
okay. And now, at 2009-10, you'll see now that in 2009-10 we returned 25 million back to the fiscus, and it is actually growing at a problem. Northwest still they underspent by 3.5 million, and in this current financial year, sorry, I just have a slide of the current financial year. It's actually an Excel spreadsheet. I hope you'll be able to see that one. In this financial year, you'll see there that Northwest they only spend something like 67% of the 53%. Actually, ignore this because it looks at the total allocation. They only spend 53%, they're still the lowest. And we are retaining something like 82 million back to National Treasury. You'll see it here in the slide that I used earlier on, that in terms of the overall allocation per province, for this financial year there at the bottom, 2010-2011, that of the 426 million that was transferred to provinces, 82 million by the end of 31st March was not spent by the provinces. Now, Madam Chair also asked about the issue of the quality of spend. You know, we've raised quite a number of challenges. You know, Minister really needed this information as well. In terms of the quality of spend, and we are also very concerned in that, you know, we transfer the money to provinces, we have no full control, and our acting DG mentioned the challenge we're having at national in terms of monitoring and evaluation, that in terms of personnel we don't have enough capacity. It was raised in the strategic plan that the issue of capacity within mass participation to monitor the money that we give in provinces is actually a challenge. So it is becoming hot money because we're not able to actually follow up properly. We have a system of monitoring, but we rely heavily on the information that the provinces give us. However, there is a plan in place to actually put adequate resources in the provinces to ensure that there is proper monitoring of compliance on the conditional grant. And the other question was on the youth camp. And this is a new concept that the minister came up with. We put a concept together, and the focus there is threefold. We're going to be looking at encouraging participation and also encouraging empowering the youth that is going to be identified in the provinces. Because the CFO you saw in the presentation, in terms of funding, nationally we do not have funds. The funds are with the provinces. So we rely heavily on the provinces to actually deliver on that mandate on our behalf. So we have given them the concept document, and we're going to be unpacking it, you know, in detail together with the provinces. But they will identify a number of youth that will be taken through for training capacity, and there's also a life skills component that will be included in the program. We don't want it to be just a one-off. We wanted to really just come up with a cohort that will actually go out and do
do the training, train the trainers, you know, as soon as they complete the full program. It will be launched in December, and the date will be communicated to you in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we are only left with 2 minutes. The acting teacher.
Madam Chair, I just thought Ms. Nkonto hadn't spoken of the value. I think the member has indicated what value are we getting out of the mass participation program. And I think there's lots of good stories that we can tell coming out of the program that we can allude to. But just to add to the issue of the under expenditure and the delivery by provinces on the conditional grant, we've also put our internal audit team who put it into their plan for this financial year to go out to the provinces to monitor the expenditure of the provinces as well.
I think that document the slides that you were showing, you can forward to the secretary for the benefit of the members here to know what's happening in their provinces. I think we'll now go to the CFO and in short and close.
Thanks, Chair. One of the members raised the issue of what is the department doing to prevent irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure, because that is part of the internal control system that we have introduced. As you look at the trend that, you know, people did not comply with delegations, people did not understand the supply chain procedure. In that function, people will go and procure goods without following supply chain processes. And what we did, we had to workshop all the staff to say, if you need to hold a workshop, for example, if you need to go and roll out an event, all the requirements should go through supply chain process. It must go, you must detail your request. You are not allowed to go and engage a service provider, but you identify all your needs and send it to supply chain. Because they've been trained in that field, they will do procurement on their behalf. Your role is to say, before the goods are delivered, you as the end user, you must be satisfied. That is your role. You need to say, this good meet the requirement, you can order them, then an order can be placed and so on. So we have workshopped the people in terms of delegation, supply chain processes, and for now it is bearing fruit, and we are monitoring it on constant basis. And the other thing which a member wants to know from the side of finance, I think one member raised an issue of if there is any money outstanding to FIFA. I don't know, Chairperson, if this member is in contact with the Plaza. Yes, there is money that is going to be the money that we are talking about is our government have signed a guarantee with FIFA for refunding FIFA on the VAT that the receiver of revenue have collected. You remember, receiver of revenue collects 14% of every sale. So in terms of that guarantee, the government of South Africa said, we will pay FIFA back 3.28% of all the sales after the reconciliation. Now, during the Confederation Cup, we paid them 15 million as an upfront payment. And in the year of FIFA, we paid them 40 million as part of an upfront payment. In terms of the agreement, FIFA and the auditors that we appointed together with them, Ernst & Young, had to do a reconciliation between all the amount they paid to SAP. And when they did the final reconciliation, it came out that we still have to pay them 16.3 million. So it's money that we have sent a letter to Treasury in terms of because that agreement was signed between our president of the country and FIFA that we will refund that money. So it's an obligation on our side to honor that. So, yes, we owe them. I was just explaining why we are owing them that amount of money. Then, on the issue of boxing South Africa, I think as you'll be aware, although it's a competency of Professor Singh here, the Minister of Appointment, myself and Professor Singh to assist Boxing South Africa. Myself, I'm focusing on the governance and financial management. office looking at the strategic implementation of the project of PSA, and so we are sitting on the board and, you know, monitoring on consistent on monthly basis what is happening in that entity. So in terms of that, we are keeping our eye on the ball on what is happening in the boxing South Africa situation. In terms of spending to federation, I think the acting DG said we will submit a detailed breakdown of all the federation that we are funding. I thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Singh, do you want to say something, or are you okay?
I will, Chair, thank you. Maybe very quickly, if you'll allow me, the issue of scientific support. The way the department offers scientific support and the kind of support it offers is the high-level athletes, the national, international athletes, they're taken care of by the Sports Confederation. The federations, together with SASCOC, then handle those athletes in terms of scientific support. They have their programs in place. What the department does is, in terms of our mandate of development, we look at the youth, the people who don't go there, and the gap between us and how do we get the people onto those programs. So things like nutrition, things like scientific training, things like medical support to these youth who are participating in sport and how to avoid injuries, etc., some of the life skills issues that they need. That is the kind of support that we provide. How do we provide it? We don't have staff to go all around the country to do it themselves. They provide it through what we call centers of specialization and the provincial academies. So centers of specialization, we find that the tertiary institutions have personnel, they have the equipment, they have the expertise, and so throughout the country we find that the athletes are identified, athletes of talent, and they are referred to local, as local as possible, the nearest centers of specialization to them, so they all do not have to come to Gauteng. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members and the department. Don't worry, honorable members, for the time, your lunch time that has been taken, it will be reimbursed on the day of the budget vote when they give us supper, they give us dinner. Yeah. That we are just saying that, and it's going to happen, I believe. honorable members, thank you very much. The department, thank you very much. We believe that anything that we did not touch on, we can always come back to you, and we will invite you if we have issues that we need clarified. This is, we are not going very far. You are with us. And thank you very much for the presentation. It was a good one. So, thanks. The meeting's adjourned. Thanks.